New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I am joined by Eric Wideke. We will have more members of the panel joining us shortly. So today, we were going to discuss the defensive side of the Miami Dolphins roster. Is it better than it was last year? Is it worse than it was last year? All that. We were all set up for that to happen. But then the report comes out from Jeff Darlington about Tua Tagovailoa and the contract negotiations such as they are. So immediately, we have no choice. We have to pivot to what was being discussed about Tua Tagovailoa, because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter whether the defensive side of the ball is better than it was last season. If the Miami Dolphins don't have a starting quarterback, which they do right now currently, but at the end of the day, if they don't have one during the season, if they don't have one because he's upset, which he has every right to be, in my opinion, then it really doesn't matter whether the defense is better or not, because the Dolphins aren't going to win with Mike White at quarterback. Now, do I think it's going to get that far? No, I really don't. I don't think that even if the Miami Dolphins don't end up giving Tua his contract extension, even if he ends up playing on the option, Tua will play. He will take his chance and he will make it a point, because he owes it to his teammates to say, I will be here for you guys, but I owe no love to this franchise. That's what I believe at this point. So we're going to get into more of the nitty gritty details of what actually was said by Jeff Darlington and others. But before that, as always, we have to mention that this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is a revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to, if you're in South Florida, 4 different players across professional sports leagues. Everywhere else still gets to pick 6, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the recently over NHL, congratulations to the Florida Panthers, or if you're a WNBA fan, then you can go ahead and put some bets on there as well. So all you have to do is just choose whether a player goes over or under their regularly scheduled statistic. So if you think that a pitcher is going to get more than 6 strikeouts in a game, you can go ahead and pick whether they're going to go more or less than that. So we're going to get into all of that. And all you have to do is use the promo code 5. That's FIVE. They will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. It's very easy, and it's free money that PrizePicks is literally giving you. Don't waste any more time. Go to PrizePicks.com if you haven't already. Use that promo code 5, and they will give you up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. All right. So, and also we have our other sponsor, Jersey305.com. Going to play the clip for you guys. And here's Ethan Skolnick.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called Jerseys305.com. That's Jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And once again, that's Jerseys 305. Use that promo code 5. They'll give you up to 10% on your next order. So, all right, Eric. Obviously, we have this big story going on right now with Tua Tagovailoa and his contract negotiations. Essentially, what Jeff Darlington said on an on the television today was that the Miami Dolphins are looking to pay Tua below what the market value says, which means that in essence, they are not giving him money in the Jared Goff situation. They are not giving him money in the Trevor Lawrence situation. So with that in mind, that is basically what Tua said back in minicamp, was that the market is the market. And when he was talking about how he didn't want to say he was frustrated, he instead used the word anxious. Well, the longer this goes on, it's going to start feeling like the word is going to become frustrated, because I struggle to see where the Dolphins have any leg to stand on to say that Tua doesn't deserve what the market says he should get. Because if your argument is that Tua has failed against playoff teams, then he's only beat up on really good teams. But he's done for 2 years now. And yes, he has his injury concerns. His injury concerns at this point in the NFL consisted of some injury, which he says he was able to play through, and Brian Flores told him to kick rocks, and he was forced into getting Tua in the game at that point. Two concussions that, depending on who you ask, it's arguably three, but either way, two concussions that were confirmed, and those concussions were unavoidable injuries, and he did come back from them. And then last season, he played the entire season all the way through. Whether you think that's because he gave himself all the extra padding because he got fat, that's up to you to decide as well. I personally think it has more to do with the training that he put in with his jiu-jitsu and learning how to not let his head hit the dirt like that. And for the past 2 years, under Mike McDaniel's tutelage, Tua Tagovailoa has been one of the, if not the, top passer, statistically speaking, in the NFL. So, with that in mind, what leg do you have to stand on to tell Tua, we are not going to pay you what your constituents have already gotten? What is your argument when you go to Tua's people and say that Jared Goff just got paid this, Trevor Lawrence just got paid this, but you, Tua, we're going to go below what the market says you should be getting, and we don't want to pay you what your constituents who have done less than you at this point.
I'm sorry, Lewis. I hate to be that guy. Constituents are people represented by a politician.
Okay, I stand corrected. But either way, the point is, how about his peers? Is peers a better word for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, it's fine. I get it. I'm usually the guy who's like supposed to be the writer, so if I use a wrong word, it's a wrong word. I'll take the hit. But in any case, so his peers. So Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff are his peers. They're quarterbacks, just like him. And they got paid. And they have not done as much lately. Again, the NFL is a what have you done lately for me league, right? We don't care what somebody did 2 years ago. We only care what he did about 1 year ago. That's how these things work. So in Tua's case, he led the NFL in passing yards and all sorts of different QB statistics. Apparently, the what have you done late for me league only qualifies for anybody whose name is not Tua Tagovailoa. So I'm at a loss as to where the Dolphins are right now in these negotiations. I know that Alfredo Arteaga is going to be joining us a little bit later. I'm sure he has some thoughts to say. I'm kind of struggling here to figure out what the negotiation is. I see some of the chats already coming in. J Miami Sports says, don't need to pay him this year. To be honest, Greer has the leverage. I don't see how he has the leverage. What leverage do you have other than if Tua ends up, like never mind whether the Dolphins actually win a playoff game, okay? Never mind whether that happens or not. If Tua plays another full season and he continues to play like a top passer in the NFL, which he is likely to do under this system, which is designed specifically for him. This is not a system that any other QB can just waltz in here and do exactly what Tua is doing. It's not designed that way. It's designed for Tua. It's designed for Tua. You can't throw Baker Mayfield into Tua's system and expect the same results. They're different quarterbacks. They do different things. Mike McDaniel would have to redesign the whole offense in one go-round to try to figure out, how am I going to work with this different quarterback? It's designed for Tua. You can't just plug and play people like that. It's not going to look the same. It won't. And so with that in mind, where do you get the leverage that people are talking that Greer has, other than to say that, you know what, if Tua ends up playing well again this year, you're not going to give him $55 million a year, because this is what happens all the time. The market only goes up when it comes to quarterbacks. Nobody is paying down. Nobody is getting paid lower than what everybody else is. When you are a quarterback, if a team thinks that you are good enough to pay at all, you are going to pay what the market says, or you're going to reset the market. Nobody takes less than what they're already designed to get. So I'm at a loss here to figure out what the Dolphins are doing. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Chad into the show. He is joining us now. Hello, sir. I've already given my thoughts on the whole Tua negotiation situation right now, but first I'm going to pivot to Eric. So you, sir, you've listened to me talk for the last 10 minutes now. What's going on in your mind?
So a couple things. Number one, this is how negotiations work. You know, you're not going to go into a negotiation and just say, here you go, Tua, here's a blank check. You can have whatever you want. You don't get things without asking for it. So the Dolphins, you know, they have to shoot their shot on getting a below market deal on Tua. And Tua has to shoot his shot on getting an above market deal for himself. That's just the nature of negotiations. They're looking out for their own individual best interests. And that's how they should carry themselves throughout this process. Secondly, this is kind of the Dolphins' MO. They play hardball with their guys. They didn't renegotiate Connor Williams' contract. They didn't rework that with him. Obviously, we saw the tenuous situation with Xavien Howard. They were willing to let that get pretty uncomfortable before that got resolved. We had the Christian Wilkins situation last year. Obviously he walked, and I don't think that that's going to be the same thing this year, but I think we have enough evidence to suggest that this is a front office that isn't afraid of, you know, getting into some murkier waters here on a negotiation to get what they want. And do I think they'll end up getting what they want out of this? No. But on the same token, I don't think that any irreparable damage is being done between the Dolphins and Tua. We know how Mike McDaniel feels about Tua. We know how Chris Greer feels about Tua. And I still believe that, absolutely. So I think ultimately this is kind of just how the Dolphins conduct themselves. And because of the fact that, you know, listen, the Dolphins haven't had a situation like this where, you know, it's come time to pay a quarterback, and you're talking about a guy that's going to get paid top five in the league type money. Is the situation a little different than what's happened with Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff? In a vacuum, should Tua make more money than at least Lawrence? Sure. But I think the Dolphins have every right to try to do what they can to give him a deal that is the most advantageous to building the best team possible, just like Tua has every right to ask for the most money possible. Because truthfully, nobody wants to be the guy to set the position back, like you mentioned, because then you kind of get the side eye from your peers as well at the position. So ultimately, I don't think it's a massive headline that the Dolphins are trying to get him in below Goff and Lawrence, because I think that that's kind of what you ask for as you go on, and then Tua and his side present another number, and ultimately they kind of meet in the middle, which I think will be maybe they might do the Price is Right thing and go $1 above Trevor Lawrence. So I think that this is just negotiations kind of leaking publicly. And I think that it now that's the interesting part of this. Where is this coming from? Because I am almost inclined to believe that this is coming from Tua's camp. At least his agent. I don't think Tua would let something like that out, but I do think that this is a little bit of public negotiation.
Well, I'll say this. OnlyFins, which, by the way, is only $3 a month. You can get to the link at discord.gg/OnlyFins if you haven't already done so to get some, I want to say slightly better at this point. It's slightly better right now if you're going to avoid Twitter. But just because the discourse right now on Discord, OnlyFins, is so baffling to me right now, because there's just like in Twitter, there's a camp that says that Tua's not worth it, that they should play on the option and prove it, because he still has way too much to prove to justify paying him at all, which is, again, baffling to me, because with everything that Tua has done so far, what are you looking for him to prove exactly? Tua's done better and done more than any quarterback in Miami Dolphins history besides Dan Marino, and that's only in two seasons. And so I don't know what you need Tua left to prove to justify paying him at all. Like, it's not even that, oh, he's not worth this much money. It's he's not worth paying him at all. And then, of course, there's a camp that says that doesn't matter what you pay him, you need to bring him on because he's an elite quarterback, and whatever your thought process is on that. I tend to lean more towards the latter than the former. I don't think that Tua is the best quarterback in the NFL or anything. There's only one who's in that camp. But if you have to say that here's the top three, it's Tua, it's Patrick Mahomes, you have Josh Allen, and then you have Lamar Jackson, then anybody else who's in that camp right below him, I'll put him in the Joe Burrow discussion. Joe Burrow hasn't, aside from getting to the Super Bowl in the first place, Joe Burrow's had the same kind of weaponry that Tua has now. So I'm going to put the same asterisk on Joe Burrow that I'm going to give to Tua. Sorry. But in any case, Chad, let's get your thoughts on this, man, because I wanted to talk about the defense today, bro. I did. I didn't want to have to talk about this, but yet here we are. So let's have the discussion. Chad, you're going to talk as I bring Alfredo Arteaga into the show. Chad, sure. Let's go and hear what you have to say.
I think what a lot of people, when you look at contract negotiations, you have to realize they're typically extensions on top of their current deal, right? So the Trevor Lawrence deal, that's a really good deal for Jacksonville. I know he's getting reported what he's making per year, but he has a full 2 years yet of contract before the like $55 million or whatever it was kicks in. And so Trevor Lawrence is not near $55 million of guaranteed money on his contract. It's much lower than that. But Tua, on the other hand, he's at the final year of his option deal. I would say almost surely this is his agent, his representation. They're getting uneasy because Tua doesn't want to play this year without getting his deal done. And I think as it gets closer in the leverage game, Miami is the one with the leverage right now because they can gladly just say, okay, Tua, we're going to pay you $23 million, play out your contract here, and then we're going to tag you. That's our plan. And that puts Tua into a position where Miami's perfectly able to have him go two full seasons, risking injury without getting any guaranteed money. And Tua, I think in reality, knows I came close to having my career ended with a concussion, right? He's had a severe concussion, severe hip injury. You know, if that's you, do you just want to get $23 million or do you want to lock in like $150 million? That's where Tua's at right now. And they're playing a game a little bit back and forth where Miami's like, we don't have to give you $150 million guaranteed. You've only played one full season healthy. And that's what this is all about, is the guaranteed money. I mentioned briefly last week, Miami likes to do three-year out deals. They do that with a lot of their players. And if you do the math, let's say you put Tua at $55 million at Trevor Lawrence's money. So 55 plus 55 is $110 million. That'd be two seasons plus his option year, which is $23 million roughly. Or let's just say it's 25. So that brings you in around $135 million. That's what Miami probably has on the table right now, is we'll guarantee you $135 million, probably in the shape of some signing bonuses and guarantees. And I think Tua's camp's wanting closer to $175 million. So there's probably a good $50 million gap in there right now. And that's what this negotiation is going about. And I think Miami's going to be perfectly willing to just go right into training camp and not do anything because Tua's under contract. And I think Tua and his camp are getting uneasy because Tua wants this deal done. And I think his agent and Tua, probably his agents in particular, are playing way too hard on this if they want to get the deal done. If Tua wants 125, 135, the deal's done. If they're going to try to push it for 175, what leverage does Tua really have other than to threaten a holdout and then he gets fined? That's his only real leverage. And again, I understand your point, Lewis. What does he have to? Tua's proven he's a really good quarterback. He's somewhere between 5 and 15 in the NFL
Is he better than Trevor Lawrence?
Sure, he's better than Trevor Lawrence, but Trevor Lawrence.
But Trevor Lawrence just got paid, though, Chad. That's my point. And that's what I'm saying when it talks about leverage. But Trevor Lawrence, the leverage is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is the leverage.
Trevor Lawrence settled for a much lesser deal than some other quarterbacks. People are just looking at the per year amount. Trevor Lawrence's big money doesn't even kick in for 3 years yet. This is not about where Tua ranks. The Dolphins can win a Super Bowl with Tua. I think most people within the Dolphins organizations believe that. The issue at hand is, can he stay healthy? And I think Miami's willing to put 3 years into him, and I think Tua wants more around 4 to 5 years of guaranteed money. And that's where the disconnect is right now. And I can't blame the Dolphins. You guarantee Tua $135 million even, and he comes in and in week two gets a major concussion. He's out for the rest of the year. Maybe he's going to retire. You're in a really rough shape for two or three seasons then. And you're probably going to see Greer fired. You're probably going to see McDaniel lose his job potentially even because they don't have the money to build a competitive team without a good quarterback. So it's a lot on the line. I think this is going to go. I think Miami settled in to just wait until training camp. I think they'll probably give one more best offer from the Dolphins. If I were guessing, I would say that'll come in closer to $150 million, and that'll be it. And if Tua wants to back off, maybe $175, $180 million, they'll get the deal done. If Tua doesn't, Miami says, that's fine, then we'll start training camp. I mean, that's where it's going to be. And so it's really going to come down to what Tua is willing to accept in the end. And he'll get that $55 million a year number. It's really just how many of those years are the Dolphins going to guarantee. If that makes sense.
All right, Alf, you're right in the middle of it all. In the OnlyFans is your baby, and right now your baby is screaming at the top of its lungs. So let's hear from you what your thoughts are on this whole thing.
Well, first of all, they can't tag him. They just can't, and I'll explain why. When you tag somebody, the entire amount goes against your cap. It's an entire full cap charge. It'll be $42 million, between $42 and $44 million for 2025, and that's before we get the cap estimate for that season. The following season, it's at least $48 million. So if you're going to play the tag game for two consecutive years, you're essentially just paying him his guaranteed money all up front for the next 2 years, and you're going to have to cut players to do it. If you extend them, you give him the guaranteed money that he already wants, it'll still be half of what you were going to pay him anyway on a franchise tag. And you get him for cheaper for the first 3 years because you get to control how you pay him. They simply cannot afford it. In 2025, they're over the cap by $12 million. If you look at, forget the dead money, but look at the outstanding contracts and what they can do to open up cap space. The only thing they really have left to work with is Tyreek Hill's contract. If you put on an extra $42 million on top of that, you're moving into $54 million, and there's just no way to find that money without cutting players or letting a bunch of players go. If you sign him to an extension, you could keep his cap charges under 20% of the cap instead of somewhere around 32%, which is what it will be if they have to tag him, especially 2 years in a row. So 2 years in a row is impossible. 1 year, you can do it, but you're going to have to get rid of a bunch of players. And then what's the point then? So you're going to say this, you know, he has to play better, so we're going to take away players from you. And now you got to play better, but with worse players. Or you extend them. You essentially are paying for them already if you're planning on tagging them for 1 year, because I can promise you this. And Kyle Krabs did a very good job of this on the Locked On Dolphins podcast. He went over for those that say, oh, you know, where's the market for Tua? The market is not only vast for Tua, it's bigger than we think. And the worst part of it all is that the two teams that are the most likely fit every single criteria of everybody that's ever said anything bad about Tua Tagovailoa. They say he has to be a Southern quarterback. He has to play indoors. Guess which two teams have the most cap space opening up past next season? the Las Vegas Raiders and the New Orleans Saints. Guess which two teams won't have quarterbacks back then by that time? Both of them. So you're painting yourself into a corner where you're going to actually pay for him more, or you really have three decisions to make here. You make him play on the fifth-year option, and then you end up paying him more because you're going to have to. Or you trade him at the end of the season, and you recuperate picks, and then you start the clock on a new quarterback again, and then you're going to have to pretty much tear down the entire team. Or you pay him now, and you extend the window of this team for the first 3 years of his contract before the real cap charges come. I don't think that they would lower his cap charge this coming year. I think they would load it. Like, it's 23 right now. They got about 16 in cap space. I think that they would front load most of the contract for the first year. I think his cap charge, when they can fit it, which is this season, will be very large. It will be what probably the tag would be next season. So arguing over the guaranteed money is really the only thing that they're really arguing about is length. And if they want to do 3 years, and let's say the guaranteed figure for every year is 45, which would put it at 135, then the Dolphins are way off, because a three-year, even if you have void years, you're talking about a four-year contract. I don't think they'll do a four-year contract. They have to do a five-year contract so they could at least lower his cap charges for the following 2 years while loading this one, which would make his fourth year, and I know I'm going around in circles here, it would make his fourth year a lot more palatable. Okay, look at what they did with Jalen Hurts' contract, and I think that that's what they would want to do with Tua's contract. I think they're probably just haggling right now. I think the deal's going to get done. These things usually get done in July anyway. Burrow's deal actually went later. It went into the preseason. So, you know, Herbert's, I think, was the first one. I think it was right after the 4th of July, I think, Herbert got extended. And Jalen Hurts was draft week. But Burrow got done right before the season. He got done during the preseason. I think that the real deadline here is probably the first preseason game, and that's in August. I think they had the whole month of July to work on this. I really don't think that they're that too far off. You know, I think they just, you know, they're playing through the media back and forth. You kind of know who's leaking what by who's actually talking. You know, as far as I know, Jeff Darlington is very well connected with the Dolphins themselves. I kind of know who's kind of connected to Tua Tagovailoa, and that's probably Jeremy Fowler. So I'm guessing that this is posturing from the Dolphins to try to get the structure that they want. And remember, there's tax considerations here as well. So if they want to do a deal that, like what Jalen Hurts got, they can give him every single dime that he wants. But there's also a larger tax burden if they're converting bonuses to cash every single year. So maybe that's what they're haggling about. And I'm pretty certain that they're probably very close on the guarantees. I think that their issue is probably the structure, because that matters in this case. If they do a deal similar to what Jalen Hurts got, then I could see how he could want to haggle over that. If they did a deal similar to what Burrow got, then no. If they did a deal similar to what Lawrence got, then I don't see why he's complaining, you know? So I would say that they're probably in the ballpark. It's just probably about, this is all about structure. But as far as the options and who has the leverage, well, the leverage belongs to Tua a year from now. And you have to look a year from now. You make him play on the fifth-year option, he's going to hold you up. And he plays, if he just repeats the season, okay, which means that he has his third consecutive season, top five in every single passing category, he can hold you up for top-of-the-league money next year. And then you're probably just going to cave, because the alternative is to trade him, to try to recuperate picks. Because if you tag him, you have to cut down most of your roster. And I don't think they want to do that. The way that they built this roster and the way that they set up the contracts, especially Waddle's contract, if you look at it, it's set up to try to keep this window open for at least three more seasons. So the key is going to be to try to keep Tua's cap charge low for the next three seasons. And you accomplish that in two ways. A longer contract with spread out guarantees and loading up this first year when you can, because it doesn't look like they're signing anybody else. And they got about $16 million. Plus they have the Tyreek Hill card that they haven't opened up yet. So you're talking about opening up somewhere around $21 to $23 million in cap space total. And if you could do that this year, you keep five for a rainy day, you could load $15 million on top of the $23 that he's getting paid and make the cap charge this year $38. So they have options, but one of them is not to play the waiting game, because the waiting game is just going to cost you more money.
That's what I'm thinking too. Eric, are you got your mic is on. Is something going on?
Yeah, my only question here is, what I'm having trouble understanding is, if it is coming from the Dolphins, that I guess, you know, that this is coming out public through the Dolphins, I don't really understand what their play here. Is it to say, you know, we don't even want to pay you Lawrence and golf money, so we're kind of doing you a favor with what we're offering you? Or that's what I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding in this, they think they're going to get out of that.
It could be something as simple as a shot across the bow that, you know, we're prepared to hold the line here until we cave, which is probably what's going to happen.
I think one thing that of everything Alf covered there that's important is the structure. I don't think this is about money. I think it's about the duration. And as I said, I think they want to do 3 years, and I think Tua wants at least four. And Alf saying on the Tua side leverage, if Tua repeats 2023, he gets a bigger payday next year, and he's going to be even more expensive, and he has way more leverage because he won't be under contract. The only thing the Dolphins could do is take him. The trade-off you have to realize, though, is what if he repeats the 2022 season and he gets a major concussion this year? Tua is going to lose easily $120 million or more in his career. His career may end this year. And you got to look at Tua's history from his senior year of college through 2023. 2023 was the only year he played healthy. He was hurt every other season. And so that's the trade-off right now, is who's willing to go the next season? Is it Miami willing to roll the dice and pay him on his option year? Or is it Tua willing to say, well, I'm going to bet on myself? And is he going to land like Christian Wilkins did on his feet? Or is he going to land like Connor Williams did and be injured and lose a ton of money? And so I do agree with Alva. I think it's going to get done. I think, though, Miami's in a better position to play the waiting game, because Tua is one who has to risk all the money. And Miami, I disagree. I think they could take him. It would put them in a very tough position next season. But if you look at it with carrying this year's money over and you pay him his option year and take him at, say, $48 million, You're only averaging in the mid 30s then. That's a terrible deal for Tua and a great deal for the Dolphins, because you're getting him 2 years and you can just say we're done if he has a severe injury and Tua's out all his money.
Yeah, so, but the cap charge all gets charged in one single season. The $42 million just gets put on 1 year.
So, right. So you would just carry over your excess this year into next year. Then you're going to use the expanded cap revenue you're going to get from the new TV deal. The cap probably is going to jump a good 10, 15, maybe even 20% next year. And then you're going to restructure. Now, is that ideal? No. You're going to severely limit your ability to bring in new players, and you're going to probably have to restructure current players. But it's doable. I just don't think it's something Miami would want to do. I'm just pointing out that they could do it. That's their negotiation stance. Is that what Miami wants to do? Not at all, because it will make him extremely difficult on fielding a complete roster, not this year, but the next year. So they're not going to want to do that.
Right. But that's part of it, though, Chad.
What's that?
That's part of it, is that because you're saying, I get what you're saying. It's theoretically, it's possible. It could be done. But but just like the Dolphins, just like you're saying, the Dolphins know they could technically do it, but they don't want to do it. Tua's camp knows that too. They're going to look at Chris Greer across the table and say, are you seriously telling me that you really, instead of paying my guy, you'd rather tag him and sabotage his home team for 2 years?
What comes down to that we're talking about, because both parties want to get the deal done. I 100% think that's the case. The real question is what's going on at that table right now. Like, is this Tua wanting like 6 years and $230 million guaranteed? Would you do that? Like, would you give him 6 years guaranteed, Lewis?
Seriously. Right, so. No. Listen. Here's why, though. Let me justify myself, because I know there's already people saying, what, are you crazy? The reason why is because, again, look at what Tua has done combined with the Mike McDaniel. Like they've gotten to the point, like they're like this. They are attached to each other by the hip, and it has worked. Instead of Adam Gase tying his career to Ryan Tannehill, where Ryan Tannehill had to basically be fixed by setting up a running game, and you had to do all these other stuff, and he basically had to take the ball out of Tannehill's hands in order to make Tannehill look better. That's not the case with Tua. Tua throws and is top five in the league 2 years running, and all he has to do is just continue to play that guy. Think of it this way. If Tua were to miss three games every year for those 6 years, just three games, but he still ends up being top five in every category, would you be okay with that? Knowing that he was going to miss three games every year because he's a quarterback.
Depends what three games you're talking about. If it's the last three games of the season,
it doesn't matter. That you have a top, you have a top level quarterback who statistically speaking is one of the best in the league every single year for those 6 years. But he misses three games.
So if you're asking me would I do a six-year guaranteed deal if he's going to be healthy all 6 years, yes. If you asked me how many years he's been healthy in the last 4 years, I'm telling you one. So I would say it's extremely unlikely that he's going to last 6 years without having an injury. And if he and keep in mind, he didn't just have a concussion in 2022. He was having a seizure on the field concussion, severe concussion. The kind of concussion, if he gets a bad one again, his career is over.
Which is why he took steps to make sure it never happens again. Like that was part of the chat.
I'm not anti Tua. Don't get me wrong.
I know you're not. I know you're not. But your point.
He's had a lot of injuries.
I know you're not anti Tua. I know you're not anti Tua. But here's the thing that your point. But this is the part that's getting missed. Those concussions that he took were not just he got hit in the head by a player. That was. In some ways, that was his own carelessness in a way, because he just lets his head bang against the turf with no cushion whatsoever. That's why he went out of his way to take the jiu-jitsu, and this was all a big deal in 2023. Tua's taking martial arts to learn how to fall. Those concussions he took were not because somebody hit him too hard. It was because he wasn't paying attention in a way.
That doesn't matter, though. What matters is concussions are cumulative on the severity and the frequency. He's had a very, very severe concussion. If he gets another severe concussion, the medical advice to Tua, who's a father with two kids now, would be you need to retire right now because you're going to have scrambled eggs for brains in 10 years or 20 years if you don't. And so you got to weigh that off. I mean, yeah, is Tua as good as Justin Herbert? He's better than Justin Herbert. Is he as good or better than Trevor Lawrence? Sure he is. Is he as healthy as those quarterbacks are? No, he is not as healthy as those guys. He played a healthy year last year, and he's doing everything in his power to keep himself healthy. But this where I'm going with this is the duration of the contract and the guaranteed money. I'm agreeing with you. I want this deal done. I want to see Tua quarterback here for the next 5 or 6 years. But if I'm looking at it from the Dolphins' lens, the more years you put into him, if you lose him right away, if you lose him this season, you're not just dooming this franchise for 2024. You're dooming them for the next 2-3 seasons because you're going to have so much money given to Tua, who's not even going to be on the field. And
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Burrow is a great example. The Bengals did a terrible job giving Joe Burrow a huge contract because why didn't the Bengals compete this year? What was the problem?
They didn't have Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow was not on the field again.
Nobody's questioning Joe Burrow. That's the problem. Nobody's questioning Joe Burrow.
No, honestly, I'm just saying it was not. The contract's not working out well for the Bengals because he wasn't on the field. And so nothing with Tua's done on the field is a problem for me. I mean, I'm not in the camp that says Tua can't win the big game or Tua doesn't have a strong arm. I think Tua's, like I said, he's 100% between 5 and 15 in the quarterback rankings, and the Miami Dolphins can win a Super Bowl with Tua. So they got to keep him here. But I do get the hesitancy from the Dolphins to do more than 3 years of guaranteed money on his deal. And so where I'm going with that from the beginning is if Tua's camp is demanding like a 5-year guaranteed contract for like $250 million, I would be digging in too if I were the Dolphins. Now on the flip, if the Dolphins are trying to get him for like $40 million a year and only guaranteeing him $90 million, then I wouldn't sign either if I were Tua. And so that's the real question here. There's people are leaking their unhappier negotiations, but we have no clue is who's asking for what right now. And that's what I'm really curious about is, are the Dolphins trying to extremely lowball Tua right now, or is Tua being completely unreasonable right now with his camp and what they're asking for? And however far apart that is the real question, because will Tua's, you know, be super expensive next year? Will they have to look at tagging him and screwing up their possibilities for the cap? Maybe, but it might be worth it versus giving him like a 5-year locked in guaranteed deal with the injury risks that you're taking on with the player. On the flip side too, with the money, with what Alpha's saying, I do think if they got Tua done, I don't know that they'd load it into Tua's contract depending on where Javon Holland's at. As I think they want to get him extended because this is his final year under contract. And I have no idea where Javon Holland's going to fall at, but that deal can't get done because they have no idea what this Tua deal is going to look like. But if they do get a Tua deal done where they have the ability to keep the cap charge low this year, that's a question I have for you guys. Would you rather load some of Tua's money into this season now to make future years more flexible, or would you rather get that Javon Holland deal done and lock him up for maybe 3-4 more years with the safety market?
Well, any Javon Holland deal is going to start next year anyway, so I would try to load up to his money for this year as much as possible, so I could have him cheaper for the next 3 years. Remember, the key is to keep him under 20% of the cap. That's the key. And so you make them really expensive this year because you already have a team. You don't need to buy any more players. You don't need to pay anybody else.
Right.
So you have the money in hand. Just hand it over to Tua. Instead of rolling it over, you're handing it over to Tua for this year, and you're lowering cap charges going forward. My worry about this is at what point does the dog bite? And look, you could get a – Most dogs, if they're brought up well, they won't turn on you. But sometimes you start smacking a dog over and over and over again, and it's going to defend itself eventually. And at one point, does Tua just say, enough with this? I'm playing this fifth-year option, and then I want to trade.
Right.
Because at some point, it becomes an insult. It's not even about the money anymore, really. Because sometimes that's what people think, that players are doing stuff like this because they want to buy a yacht, or they want to buy a car or a new house or whatever, or jewelry. No, it's about what the money says. Tua's not stupid. He knows he's better than Justin Herbert. He knows that he's better than Trevor Lawrence. In fact, you can almost see it in his body language sometimes when he plays against some of these other guys. Okay? You can tell who he really respects and who he doesn't respect. All you got to do is just watch him after games. He went up to like a puppy dog to Patrick Mahomes to shake his hand and be all huggy-huggy with him after that playoff game. Look at him after the Cowboy game, all over Dak Prescott, shaking his hand, talking to Dak Prescott. Now look at him against some other guys and how he goes up to those guys. You know, he knows who he's better than, and he knows who his peers are. At some point, the dog is going to bite. And when the dog bites, I don't think the Dolphins are going to like the response, because then you're going to have a guy who's basically going to play out his fifth-year option and make business decisions all season long. You know, kind of like how he did this past year, how he stayed healthy, you know, which means he's not going to run when asked. He's not going to take the extra hit. He's going to be really, really, really efficient, put up big numbers, and then, you know, polish up that resume for another team in 2025.
Do you think Tua's looking to set the market, Alf, or do you think this is just Miami dragging their feet?
I think Miami's dragging their feet over the structure because they want something that's ideal for them. Look at what happened with Jalen Waddle. If, let's say... For just as because look, I don't have any information on this. This is a complete hypothetical. So let's say that they were negotiating with Jalen Waddle, okay, and the Devonta Smith deal came out, right? And Jalen Waddle said, and let's just assume that he said that. Okay, I'm better than Devonta Smith. I need more money than Devonta Smith, right?
Right.
And then the Amon-Ra St. Brown money came out, and he said, you know what? Amon-Ra St. Brown is probably, you know, equal to me, although the Dolphins would argue that he's a number one and you're, you know, technically a number two here. Right. And Amon-Ra St. Brown's number is all the way up here. So your number is somewhere in the middle. And then the Dolphins actually, when they give him his contract, puts him right in line with the market where Amon-Ra St. Brown is. And it's technically just prorated for where we are, because he's in Michigan and we are here in Miami, here in Florida.
Right. For taxes, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So then what did Greer really accomplish? He didn't accomplish anything. Had he offered him a top-of-the-market deal back when Devonta Smith signed, he would have gotten him for the same amount of money. So essentially, he just dragged his feet for no reason. What this suggests to me, this Waddle thing is that the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal forced Greer's hand because he was fearful of what was coming down the pike with Ja'Marr Chase and right. Justin Jefferson. And then you saw Justin Jefferson get 30, okay? So, or more than that. What was it, 32 or something like that? So with the Waddle thing, I think that they actually did drag their feet. They ended up getting a decent deal because, you know, that's essentially a market deal and it's prorated for, you know, the kind of player that he is and what you expect him to be down the line, which is essentially Tyreek Hill's replacement.
Right.
They're waiting if they want to get a deal done that's just in line with the market. It already cost them $12 million with the Lawrence deal. Okay. And that's per annum in guaranteed money. If they wait and Jordan Love comes in at a ridiculous number, then this thing does blow up in everybody's face. So I think they're dragging their feet. They better have a very, very good sense of where Jordan Love's number is going to come in, because they're playing with fire at this point, because they already lost about $12 million worth of Steven Ross's money. And I think Greer is playing with probably losing somewhere close to $25 million of Stephen Ross's money. And over the life of a contract, doesn't sound like much, but I explained it the other day. It represents Odell Beckham. It represents Odell Beckham and Marcus May, possibly. And it already cost them a Marcus May, at least, and a Calais Campbell to drag their feet. So now it could cost them three vets that you could use to fill out the roster. So I would suggest to, you know, get in the room and get this thing done. And you're going to cave, so might as well cave early, is what I would say. I think that the deadline, the true deadline, should be training camp, although I'm pretty certain that they think it's going to be the first preseason game. But I don't want my quarterback thinking about this during training camp. You know, I want my quarterback in line and done. And ideally, I want that Jalen Hurts structure. That's what I want. I don't care about the guaranteed money, you know, as long as it's within, you know, the market. And he said the market's the market. Well, you pay him market. But I care about the structure. And that's what makes me think that that's what they're haggling over, is that it's the structure.
Oh, I 100% think I would take the Hurts or the Lawrence deal for Tua. I wouldn't the Deshaun Watson deal, though. That's what I don't know if Tua.
Yeah, no, the Deshaun Watson deal is not, that's not in the cards. But, you know, I would, you know, if I don't care about the guaranteed money, I don't think that Chris Greer does either, because why should he? I'm looking at the same thing that he's looking at. I like to build the like, this is the first season where the Dolphins have built a team the way I would build a team. I've always looked. I did a TV show called Sports Bang, and we had Bryant McKinney. Yeah, you guys remember Bryant McKinney, tackle, played for the Vikings and played 1 year for the Dolphins.
Right.
He was a five-time Pro Bowler, I believe. And he was at the end of his career, and one day we were talking football. We were talking about team building. And he said that if he was a general manager, he would put one old guy, even if they didn't play that much, in every single position unit. So he would have one old vet as a running back, one old vet wide receiver, one old vet tackle, one old vet defensive tackle, basically to captain those rooms. Because he says that sometimes when a room is too young, it's directionless, and the coaches are never with the players enough. Well, they did that this year. Look, an old saying is young don't win, old does. And I finally like the direction of this team, the way that they're building this team, the way that they're filling out this roster. I think you're sacrificing some of that flexibility by dragging your feet on this thing. So it can't be about guaranteed money. If they're haggling over even $20 million worth of guaranteed money, it's a total waste. It really is. Because it's eventually going
to, I think it's 50. I think that's what the number is where they're apart right now.
But well, if it's 50, then they're nowhere in the ballpark. Then they're nowhere. Then this deal, I don't see how the deal gets done if it's 50. If it's 50, there's no way the deal's getting done.
Well, here's what I've been coming back to. When Tua first was visibly kind of upset, for the first time I saw him when he was doing an interview, or, you know, they were interviewing like a press conference type thing. It was right after the Waddle deal. And so clearly Waddle getting the deal done bothered Tua, probably, that he was here a year before Waddle, and Waddle has now got a new deal and Tua didn't. So one thing Tua said in that meeting is he said the market's the market, which suggested to me that he wants paid in line in the top five quarterbacks, which he does deserve. He's performed in the top five level. And he said, we just got to figure out where to meet in the middle. And that's where it told me, like, I'll bet you Tua's wanting like 180 to 200 million guaranteed. And Miami wants to pay him like 120, 130. And so if the deal gets done at training camp, I think Miami's going to have to, you know, give in to like 30 million more, maybe guaranteed. And Tua's going to have to come down a little bit. So maybe instead of 4 years of guaranteed money, it's like 3.5 worth of guaranteed money or something along those lines. But I think that's worth that. If it's 20 million, I'd be just like, get the deal done, guys. Jesus. But if it's 50, that it's a pretty big number. That's a full season. And again, like, you know, if he gets hurt right away, that's a lot more money to have to manipulate on your cap if he's not here to play.
Eric, you've been quiet for a while. What's going through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with all this is it really does kind of sound like this is the Dolphins dropping the ball again in terms of, you know, I don't know why they I wanted to ask this is does this girl go back to Greer having ties to New England in just being as rigid as he is with these negotiations? Because it does strike me as very I don't know. It strikes me as they're just extremely rigid and Greer wants to do things his way and he's going to do it. And it's just going to be what it is. And that's great and all, but you know, it's good for you up until the point that, you know, like you said, Alf, it could cost you too, because you go back to his entire experience with this organization. And what is his experience with this organization? His experience with this organization is Brian Flores for the first 2 years. His experience with this organization is Deshaun Watson trade rumors. His experience with this organization is now they don't want to not negotiate in good faith, I would say, but they want to hold this thing up for longer than it needs to go on. It just feels like Chris Greer is being rigid for the sake of being rigid, and I don't quite understand that aspect of it.
And that's where I kind of feel like it too, because like it's an interesting point, because if I'm not mistaken, New England has been really stingy with even their drafted players for many, many years now. Maybe that changes now that Belichick's not there anymore, but it's I've reached a point where we brought it up already. Like, we talk about who has the leverage. Who has the leverage between the Dolphins and Tua? And whenever people say that the Dolphins have the leverage, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't. And the reason why is all the reasons I've mentioned already, is that Tua's already performed at a high enough level that anybody questioning whether he has it in him or not to be good is literally just putting horse blinders on and refusing to look what's in front of them. They're refusing. They just don't want to look at it because they want to be able to say that they were right and they should have drafted Herbert and blah, 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 blah. Now, as far as his peers, Trevor Lawrence got paid. And quite frankly, as we've all, I think everybody in this panel at least agrees, Tua is better than Trevor Lawrence. Jared Goff got paid. And I think pretty much everybody in this panel agrees Tua is better than Jared Goff. So the discussion about Jeff Darlington mentioning that they're trying to get him below market. Goff and Lawrence right now are the market. They are the market. And with quarterbacks, I've already said it never goes down. It only goes up. It only goes up. If you are a quarterback who's worth paying at all in the first place, you are going to be in that market. Nobody, not a single quarterback worth paying ever, is going to take less than what the market dictates. So anything you give Tua has to be in the Lawrence and Goff range. So with that in mind, again, there's still time for more bombs to drop, and that's part of the problem. I'll be honest. I don't get the Jordan Love stuff. I don't get why one half of a really good season and just absolute nothing the rest of the time he's been out there is enough to justify giving Jordan Love the kind of deal that his two predecessors would have gotten back in their heyday. I don't get it. But Jordan Love's going to get paid. I don't think he necessarily deserves it. If anybody does have something to prove, I think it is Jordan Love. But in any case, you want to talk about Dak Prescott. Dak's already been paid a couple times. Somebody's going to pay him. And he's going to be market level. But he's not. Dak's not going to take less than what the likes of Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence got.
And let me interrupt you here, Lewis. Dak Prescott is the test study here. He's the case study for why you don't do this, why you don't keep kicking the can down the road on the contract. What Dallas has done with Dak Prescott is just flat-out mismanagement. It's all it is. It's what they're doing is absolutely stupid. Look at what they've done this offseason. By not having that deal done, they essentially had no offseason, no free agency whatsoever. None. the only people they were able to add was through cutting people, and just because they had roster spots open, they were able to bring people in, and at minimums. For Christ's sake, they replaced. Look, they got rid of Ezekiel Elliott because he couldn't play anymore, to pay Tony Pollard a franchise tag for 1 year, which is the worst kind of deal you could ever do. Okay, that's just
isn't he back now too on the team?
I think Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, he's back with the Cowboys.
He's back on the Cowboys, right?
They decided they couldn't pay Tony Pollard, so they let Tony Pollard go. We're gonna face him, by the way. He's in Tennessee. So what did the Cowboys decide is their big move to fix their running back position that they devoted $10.5 million to last year on a franchise tag? Their big move is to bring in Ezekiel Elliott, who they got rid of because they thought that he couldn't play anymore, at a minimum contract. Why? Because they don't want to extend Dak Prescott. They want to hold him up until the end of his deal. That's just mismanagement. And I fear that Miami might think that they could get away with something similar to that. And I don't think that they understand the consequences to that. Now, here's the good news is this. Everybody wants the deal. Usually when everybody wants to sign a deal, it'll get done. But crazier things have happened, you know?
I'm starting to feel like if this report from Darlington's no scrub. He's not somebody who just makes stuff up and just throws stuff at the wall to see what sticks. If Darlington's reporting that the Dolphins are trying to get him undervalue, again, if this really is, like you mentioned, Alf, like if you're speculating that this is the Dolphins camp, I'm with Eric. I don't understand what purpose that serves other than to piss Tua off more, because it's like, why would you pay him less than what the market dictates? Especially when Tua already publicly came out and said the market is the market. The market is still the market. It is what it is. You can't make the market less and make Tua the punching bag of the NFL just because the rest of the national media hates Miami and everything associated with it. I'm sure that people are like, here, I'll even give a non-football related reason. I am sure that the people at ESPN are absolutely slamming their heads against the walls right now because they can't say that Connor McDavid was the MVP of the NHL championship. It was the Panthers who won, not the Oilers.
Here's the thing, Lewis. If there's two possibilities here. One is this Tua's camp? Again, what is Tua really asking for? Because, I mean, most of the conversations under the idea that Miami's trying to lowball Tua. And if they're trying to lowball Tua, if that's what Miami's doing, then the direction of this thrown at Chris Greer, it can't be entirely accurate. Because, look, this is the franchise quarterback. It's the most important player on the team, and it's going to have the most financial impact. So if Stephen Ross is just off New York ignoring these negotiations and Mike McDaniel's off doing what he does in the offseason, he's ignoring it, That's weird to me. And so if this isn't Stephen Ross, Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, and everybody getting together in the room saying, all right, here's what we're going to offer Tua, then there's already something weird going on from the management structure. That being said, if they're lowballing Tua and all those guys are in a room right now agree, no, we're only willing to offer him, you know, $40 million a year. We won't pay him 50s. That tells me that somebody, whether that's Stephen Ross, Mike McDaniel, doesn't actually believe Tua's the guy. Because if they did, why would you do that? It makes no rational sense why you would try to lowball Tua if you believe he's top five quarterback. That would tell me that either Stephen Ross or Mike McDaniel don't believe that. Because Chris Greer will get the deal done. Chris Greer really isn't the guy who's deciding whether or not Tua is going to be the quarterback. That's McDaniel deciding it as the head coach and the offensive coordinator. Here's who I want as my quarterback, or it's what Stephen Ross is. That's the only other guy in this that might hold it up. If Stephen Ross might say, I don't want Tua, I want somebody else.
Keep in mind, like Tua, like McDaniel and Greer have not always agreed on player personnel. I know that Greer has made some picks that right. McDaniel was like, what are you doing, man? I wanted this guy. And Greer's like, calm yourself. I will get somebody for you. So who's really in charge at that point?
I'm just saying, let's say Mike McDaniel says, yeah, I this is my guy, can win a Super Bowl. Is Chris Greer going to say, you know, sorry, we won't pay him, you know, the market. We will only take him if we lowball him. But Chris Greer is going to sit there as the GM until McDaniel is the head coach and the guy who's going to coach him and basically implement the offense with him. No, he's not worth that. I don't think Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel are going to make that call without Stephen Ross, because either one of those guys are going to be the one who get fired, you know, if they don't get Tua and they lose. You know, for me, if Chris Greer loses Tua,
Chris Greer's never going to get fired. I'm telling you right now, Chris Greer's never going to get fired.
I can tell you right now, if Tua leaves after this season or gets traded and goes on to have multiple Pro Bowls, Chris Greer
will still be here trying to find a new quarterback. He's not going anywhere.
I don't think Stephen Ross will want the egg that'll be on his face from
Stephen
that,
Ross so. Is already had so much egg on his face, he's numb. He's not going to go find somebody else that he can trust to be
a GM.
I'm
just trying
to
make sense. If this is a lowball attempt by the Dolphins, who's the one driving it? Do you think it's just Chris Greer on his own, or you don't think Stephen Ross and McDaniel are in agreement with what they should offer Tua?
Remember who's the point on these contract negotiations? It's not really even Greer. It's Greer and Brandon Shore.
Right.
Brandon Shore and Greer, if you look at their books, okay, their cap situation is essentially impeccable. They know how to manipulate and how to work the cap, especially for out years. Okay. And if you look at the work that they've done since Greer took over in 2019, they've always had a very, very clean cap situation. This is going to be their biggest, not that he's an albatross, because he's not. I think he's worth every penny, because like, I really do believe the market is the market. You want a good quarterback? They cost this much. True. So, you know, if you look at that, this is going to be the first time that their cap situation and their prowess, their cap prowess is actually going to be tested. Okay. This is the first time that it's probably not going to be allowable to have a very clean cap situation like they've had in the past. So I think that they're trying to press every single advantage that they can. But like I said, this is just a game that you play until you cave.
Right.
Because I know how I would play it. And in fact, I've played it before. You know, like I said before, people think that these situations are about, you know, buying a bigger house or buying a Ferrari. No, it's not about that. It's about what the money says about you. Okay.
Right. The players want to be the highest paid. There's a status to it even.
But it's not just that though, Chad, because again, if Tua is being lowballed, then that's again, that's basically putting it right back in the same boat that he was in when Brian Flores was the guy and said, I don't think you're good enough. Tua has any quarterback worth mentioning has some level of ego. Okay. And so there's one last comment came in before we call it a night. The jury's still out on Tua. Not to me. And I don't think Chad, is it out on you as far as how good he is?
My concern is injury, not performance.
Right. Eric, is the jury still out on Tua for you?
Between very good and great.
Okay, but that's still
fine. Yeah, but no, he's still your franchise guy.
Right. That's still okay. $50 million in the market, what he just said, for right. year for quarterback.
So, yeah. Alf, I know you think he's the guy. So at this point, there's no jury out left to make on Tua. The verdict's been made. Tua is a good quarterback. The only people who still think that the jury is out on Tua are literally people who don't like him from the jump. Colin Cowherd doesn't like him. Tua.
And they don't want him. And trust me, because I've done a podcast since 2018. That's 6 years, okay? So I spanned the tank, and I spanned the last year of Ryan Tannehill here, okay? So we've gone through all the ups and downs, and we talked about it. When they brought in Mike McDaniel, Tua had his first 2 years, and we weren't skeptical. We were like, you know what? He can be a good player because he just manages to win, okay? And we've seen him at his best, and his best is pretty damn good, okay? But now he must perform, okay? We laid it out for him. It's year number three. You must perform. We're getting you everything that you want. We traded for Tyreek Hill. We drafted Jalen Waddle the year before. We just signed Teron Armstead. We're getting you a coach and a system that's going to suit you. We added speed to the running back position with Raheem Mostert. Now you must produce. The guy went out and was number one or number two in every major passing category. He produced. Then we asked you, okay, now you got to prove that you can stay healthy, okay? And you got to produce. Then he went out and he was from top one to top five in every single passing category. That's it. That's half of his career. He's the guy. You know what I mean? Nobody ever says, all right, show me. Okay, show me again. No. You know what? Show me a third time. No. At that point, trade me. You don't want me here anymore. You know what I mean?
To me, people get into debates about rankings. Like, I don't care if Tua is better than Josh Allen or Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or any of them. All I want to know is, can we win a Super Bowl with him? And I think he's that good. I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. And he's the last quarterback we've had since Dan Marino, in my opinion, that's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
It's not even close. No. I used to say it was Pennington. No, it's not even close.
People forget the wilderness that this team was in. They had not had a top five offense since 1994. Okay. Mm-hmm. With Tua leading the offense, with just him leading the offense, they were number two in total offense in 2022 and number one in 2023. Okay, that's back-to-back years in the top five. Of course, he missed games in 2022, and the offense ended up becoming the sixth-ranked offense. I saw enough. That's free. I like Tua for the same reason I like Mike McDaniel. I like my coaches and my players that promise me something and then deliver it. Mike McDaniel came in as an offensive guru. He promised me offense. Boom. Top five in scoring. Number one in total offense, number two in scoring the second year. And they're going to improve because they just added more speed and better players and a tight end and better third pass catching options. So, you know, I trust the guys that promise me something and then deliver it. I don't like the Adam Gases that come in promising offense and then you rank 22nd in offense. No,
yeah,
like, get out of here.
Terrible. Yeah, agree.
You know,
I will say because I know you're obviously, you know, your body language, your thought too, is you are to Lewis is you want to get it done, the deal done. I do think most of this is negotiated and posturing, and I'm not personally going to get too worried about the what ifs until the third preseason game. Now, if we go to the third preseason game and there's no deal, that's when things start to flip where the players just going to say, you know what, I'm just going to play it. I'm going to leave the table.
Yeah, he's going to say that I'm going to leave the table and I'm on out of here. Tua's already been the problem. Is not the first time, though, Chad. That's right. The problem. It's not the first time. We already went through it with Brian Flores doesn't like me. Deshaun Watson is somehow going to replace me. And then McDaniel finally shows up and things get better. But now here we are again. McDaniel's still here. The offense is only getting better. And now we're going back to years one and two of my career where Brian Flores thought I was trash and I'm not worth.
I don't think that's
there's an
what's
ego
going
thing
on,
there too, man. And I honestly, even me, I'm somebody who likes to think that I'm at least a little bit humble in certain things. But there is something called knowing your self-worth. And there's only so many times, Alf talked about it, eventually the dog's going to bite. There's only so many times you can be disrespected by one franchise and say, you know what? Yeah, I wash my hands of you. I'm going to go somewhere where they respect me. And Miami
you're operating, though, like they're not out there. If Miami didn't respect Tua, they would have went and got another quarterback in the offseason. Like,
I don't believe that.
Like, wait, why wouldn't you? Like, if your goal was to replace him, you would be trying to replace him.
Because like, you had to put up a front.
You want to look at a guy like at Kirk Cousins. Like they immediately tried to replace Kirk Cousins. He haven't even played a down for him yet. You know, Miami hasn't been trying to get rid
Kirk
of
Cousins
him.
Is 35. Chad,
No. You don't go all in on the roster like they've gone all in on the roster if you don't believe in your quarterback.
Right.
I understand what you're getting at a little bit, Lewis, but you're taking it way too far there. There's no covert, you know, we secretly hate Tua thing going on there. They've gone all in on the roster. They believe in the guy enough that they think if they put the right pieces around him, they can win a Super Bowl. That's the ultimate sign of respect.
What you're seeing in the media right now, this is going to intensify up the training camp, I believe, from both sides, because both sides want to get this deal done. And it is a big, it's millions and millions of dollars for Tua, and it's millions of dollars on the cap for the Dolphins. And so, you know, if they were like a couple $1 million apart, sure, you know, but they're not. They're a long ways apart right now. And Miami probably knows there's a number that they're going to be willing to go to, but I don't think they're going to realistically go to it until training camp. And the same thing on Tua's side is I'm sure he's met with his agent and they have a number that they would take. But whenever, like, you don't go buy a house or a car or something like that and just say, yeah, I'll take whatever you're offering. Let's go. I mean, you got to play a game to try to get the best deal you can get. And I think that's the phase we're in right now. Now, if this spills over past the first couple of preseason games, then you got to start getting concerned, because that means it's real. If that makes sense. It's not, well, the media is reporting this, but, you know, it's, this isn't Tua out saying, I feel disrespected by the Dolphins, or the Dolphins making personnel moves that they're obviously looking to move on from Tua. This is still a negotiation game in my mind right now. And it's, again, it's going to get more and more intense, but I'm pretty confident if Tua gets a big deal at the start of training camp, everybody's going to be happy with each other. Like, I don't think there's any animosity or hard feelings or anything like that.
I mean, if he signs the contract, then yeah, he's here. Whether he's happy or not is irrelevant. He signed the contract. He's here.
Well, so. And again, like, the Brian Flores thing is a good question. Like, does Tua want to go out into the wilderness? Because he was so disrespected by Brian Flores, in my opinion. And then I'm sure Tua's got to be a little tentative, because Mike McDaniel is the perfect fit for him. The system works really well for him. It's built around him. He knows the system. Does Tua want to go out and get himself in a situation where it's another coach like Brian Flores?
Tua will learn another offense. Tua played in Alabama. He right, can play whatever offense he wants.
What coaches is Tua going to go out and trust right now? Like, that's the big thing is there
he's the guy who's going to pay him, Chad. The guy who's going to pay him. That's who he trusts. So, the guy who's going to pay him.
Well, the Dolphins are going to pay him. It's you're debating on how much more money he might get, because there is no amount you're going to know until at least 2 years. Because even if they don't sign him after this season, they're going to tag him, even though if it's not cap friendly, they're not just going to let him walk as a free agent. They're going to have to get something for him in trade, and you can't control his trade market unless you tag him, because otherwise the league just sits and waits knowing that he's going to be a free agent. And so you have to tag him. So either way, like, Tua doesn't, he's not going to get to go openly test the market without draft picks. So if it gets to there, what teams historically do, which we don't want, is they'll tag him and say, all right, go find what somebody will pay you. The teams like to do that and say, all right, go find out what the best offer is for you. We're putting an exclusive franchise tag on you. Whoever makes that offer has to give us 2 number one picks. And people don't like to be used to that way, so they won't give you big offers. And so that's where Tua would end up if he goes to the long game. But if it's going that way, it doesn't make sense, because that means either Tua doesn't want to be here, or it means the Dolphins don't want him here. And to me right now, it's the opposite. I think Tua wants to be in Miami, and I think they want to get him signed. I think it's just negotiations phases.
I hope that then, if that's the case, Chad, then I hope my original posturing about this is just Pawn Stars is true. But I just feel like the negotiations are dragging on way longer than it has to at this point.
I would agree. I think they both sides are going hardcore, but the real leverage happens at training camp. So, I mean, if Tua is truly unhappy, he'll hold out. He won't show up at training camp. Then we'll know.
All right. We're going to go ahead and call it here. Everybody, thank you all so much for listening. Hopefully next week we can actually talk about the defensive side of the roster. We'll just call this an in-between show. So a lot of stuff happening. Chad, thank you for joining us. Eric, Alf, thank you so much for offering your insights into the Tua Tagovailoa discussion. Everybody, thank you in the comments for interacting with us and for sharing your thoughts as well. As always, it's always nice to be able to take the pulse of Finns Nation. That's why the show is called what it's called. If you haven't already done so, make sure you check out our sponsors. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 5. That's FIVE. They will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. Of course, also jerseys305.com. Use that same promo code 5. You get 10% off when you get your vintage jerseys. So a whole bunch of jerseys that you can't find anywhere else. And of course, you can go to discord.gg/onlyfins. Only $3 a month. You can join up and join the Discord, which I'm sure they're still going on and on, aren't they, Alf?
Yeah, it's Tua Palooza in there right now.
For better or worse. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us. This show is going to be up on the 3 Yards podcast feed very shortly. We will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Finns Nation. Good night, everybody.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.